It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
You know what's funny about that too is I typically check the mail on my way to the studio, you know?
Like the actual mail.
Yeah, the actual mailbox. And there was a brochure in my mailbox, actually two brochures for laser hair removal.
Oh.
One was addressed to my wife.
Yeah.
And one was addressed to me.
The same flyer to both of you?
Same place, yeah.
Okay.
Now I don't know if they just sent them out to everybody.
She put you on a list.
Or if they, like, you know, to make a special exception there for Aaron.
Don't just send one to her, knowing that he might get a hold of it. Like,
and like it's it's one of those, like, laser deals, and I just can't imagine that's, you know, it's not like I've got a little bit of, you know, upper lip hair that needs to be kind of, like, daintily removed.
I would think you know?
This would be like a 7-session deal.
Be a few visits, yeah. That'd be, you'd bring your sack lunch for that. But that you talk about adding people to mailing lists in the early, probably the mid-90s, working in Oklahoma City. Our boss had been a former strength conditioning coach, not anyone you'd know from around here, but, and you remember, like, in the back of, magazines, but specifically, like, strength and conditioning magazines that have, you know, the male enhancement stuff.
Sure.
You know, call us for an information packet, you know, on to get enhanced. And this was pre-internet. We call him up and fake voice, hey, I like to put, you know, and gave his address at our work site. So the packet, you know, we just kind of giggled as we did it. And, you know, 10 days later, he comes walking in. Hey, you guys see this? Hey, yeah, Pete. She must have put you on a list somewhere, dude. Somebody put you on a mail because he was dating a lady. Yeah, that was, there was some expletives that followed that when he kind of figured, as we're both sitting there giggling, like, yeah, I bet I know.
Y'all, you on y'all that didn't list. Play it stone face?
No, like, we tried. We tried, believe me. Oh, that was good.
We'd love to hear your thoughts. This is Tech Talk, by the way. It's on Double T 97.3, along with Mike Gustafson, Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're with you until 6:30. We'll have Rangers baseball coming up for you at that time tonight. Oh, the Astros broadcast on 100.7, The Score as well. Rangers here on Double T 97.3. All guests also appear via the Benchmark Hotline. We'll talk some realignment. We'll talk some Notre Dame today. We'll talk some coaching carousel. Clint, have you told Gus where you're going this weekend?
Oh.
I have not.
I'm curious your take on this, Gus.
Okay.
Clint is driving to Midland.
All right.
I am.
This weekend to pick up a kayak that they ordered for his wife, because he's a big kayaker.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And how, like, could you not be in Lubbock? I mean, it's almost like a requirement. But he's driving to go pick it up instead of just having it shipped, because the shipping is like $250 is what you said.
With the tax and the shipping, it's about $250.
So it's a little day trip down in the morning, get it, come back. Sure.
My question though, is it worth it? Is spending the 2.5-3 hours.
I got a buddy this spring that drove somewhere down toward the hill country, not in Austin, but down that direction, to pick up a kayak. And he made the drive, and his ended up being an overnight trip, as you can imagine. And I don't even know if it was to save shipping or just so he could
get hands on it.
And I don't know, but you're the second person in 2022 that I know directly that has gone to get a kayak.
Kayaking so hot right now.
With doing mine, of having to pay for my own gas, meals, stuff like that, I still will be saving probably around $150. Yeah. So when I think about that, the time is worth it. Okay. Yeah, because I wouldn't just throw $150 on the ground.
Sure.
And it's Saturday, right? You're doing it on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's six-hour trip tops.
Yeah, it'd be all right.
This in the 8th Flooring Center chat line. I'm going to start clipping alcohol coupons and send them to enemies in AA. Where are they posting alcohol coupons?
Oh.
Brent. Like, what flyer?
No.
Sam's. Come get a whole little stock of whiskey.
You know, like, Sam's and Costco are those places where I go from time to time, not like an every weekend thing, or heck, maybe not even once a month always.
Mm-hmm.
And I always regret not getting food before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the slice of pizza or the chicken strips or whatever, because it always smells really good.
And that's supposed to be the move. Like, if it's one of the little tips, if you're weight conscious and you're trying to lose weight, that one of the, you know, five tips to help you lose weight, drink more water, you know, all that kind of crap.
Right.
And one of them is eat before you go to the grocery store, because it kind of controls the binging and the stupid decisions. And a sack of Chips Ahoy.
Right.
You know, again, this is more of it's probably good advice for all of us at all times, but specifically in the, you know, if you're trying to manage weight and calories and that sort of thing.
The 2-gallon bucket of chocolate covered raisins.
Yeah, that's probably never a good idea.
Yeah. Love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank.
Yeah, text us with your weight loss tips.
Yeah, send them in.
We'll share them with the community.
Tapeworms, you know, kayaking. This from Steven. He says, depends on the cost of the kayak. I once found one at the Big Red K with an online coupon. It was only $75. I don't remember the size, but it was big enough for my girlfriend. I would have sunk it. Laughing emoji. I have, stop it. Clint. See, no.
I don't know what happened. I thought that said sunk it, Steve.
Oh, my gosh. T-Money 806 says this in the chat line. Didn't think about this. With no Big Ten games on ESPN, what's the college game day Big Ten homers going to do now? Switch networks? Laughing emoji? Yeah, I mean, the NHL learned, this was a long time ago, relatively speaking, that, hey, when you take your properties off of ESPN, you don't get talked about as much. Now, maybe it's easy to do that with the NHL. Right? If you're ESPN, just
bit
not
easier.
Talk
yeah,
about
sure.
it. Have a hard time imagining they're just not going to talk at all about Big Ten football. Now, maybe they might be less likely to talk about the lower end, right? They're not maybe not going to spend 2 minutes talking about Rutgers and Minnesota, you know, or Maryland and Purdue. But the top of the league will still be relevant, I would sure think.
Yeah, I mean, it would not serve them well to just ignore the Penn State Ohio State game or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and they still have the college football playoff, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
So, you know, whenever they have their playoff ranking shows, you know, and those start in October, they're going to be talking a lot about Big Ten teams, I would guess. This in the chat line, meth, you won't eat for weeks, JK. Jimmy Clint says the Sam's Pizza is pretty good and it's cheap. Yeah.
Well, the Stuart Mandel actually sort of addressed that—not the meth or the kayaking, but the what you just said
Sam's
about
Club
the
pizza.
The game, no, not that either.
Oh,
the game day, and he talked about that. You know, there may be it may start to turn away a little bit, but his words were turning that show into a glorified SEC nation is only going to alienate a huge chunk of the viewership, and there's truth to that.
More tech talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T
headline. The Texas Rangers will be in action tonight as they continue their series against the Houston Astros. First pitch tonight from Houston, 7:10 p.m. Central Time. Rangers losing yesterday 7-5, dropping their record to 48-61 on the season. They've lost two games in a row, three of the last four, and six of their last eight. Well, the Astros version of this broadcast for you on 100.7 The Score, that begins at 6:40. Astros now 71-40 overall, tied with the New York Yankees for the best record in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and the Astros.
I'm sorry, in the AL.
Astros have announced Lance McCullers return to the rotation Saturday versus Oakland.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday after it was first reported, and it seems as if the fears were warranted as Jakeem Grant, Cleveland Browns receiver, former Texas Tech standout, has a torn Achilles and will miss the entire 2022 season. He's been placed on injured reserve.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's hard to think about him being a seven-year guy.
I know.
That's a really nice NFL run. And not that it's over, but an Achilles for a speed dude, that's
tough,
not easy.
Yeah. Speaking of some tough news, Wake Forest will be without its starting quarterback, Sam Hartman, for, quote, an extended period of time because of a non-football-related issue. Although Dave Clawson, the head coach for the Demon Deacons, is insisting that Hartman will return at some point this season. Clawson said that Hartman underwent, quote, a medical procedure last night after seeking medical attention during a workout earlier in the day. Wake Forest didn't really specify the details. They cited privacy laws, but Clawson said, quote, it was one of those things that could happen to any one of us.
Ugh, hope he's okay.
Hartman accounted for 50 touchdowns last season for Wake Forest.
Not the news you want to get in on August 10th, right?
No, no, absolutely not. You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you today. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com or through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, the NFL owners unanimously approved the sale of the Denver Broncos to a group of investors that was kind of headlined by Rob Walton. Of course, Rob Walton is, you know, Walmart money.
Yep.
He is the heir to the Walmart fortune. And I thought it was really funny because he, you know, of course, as happens, you know, in these situations, after it was approved, he spoke with the press and made some comments and had an opening statement. And to me, this just speaks to how out of touch has a negative connotation here. And that's not quite what I mean. But how separate these type of people are from, like, the real world. Because
mm-hmm.
Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the NFL. He's not brand new. He's been there for 15, 20 years.
I think we talked about it the other day. He's been there on this day, 2006.
Long, long time, yeah.
Yeah. So,
And the NFL is about as big as it gets in the United States. And, you know, while you probably couldn't stop everybody on the street in some random city or town across America and show them a picture of Roger Goodell, I'm guessing a good number of folks, oh, that's Roger Goodell, mm-hmm. right? You would certainly think that someone who's buying an NFL franchise would be familiar with this too, right? This isn't some like random person off the street. This is Rob Walton, who just purchased the Denver freaking Broncos. And he begins his statement, and I don't have the audio clip for you. We can't play it right now because of some technical stuff. Plus, I didn't send it to Clint. That was probably the first point of failure. But I'll blame it on the technology stuff.
All right.
He goes, I'd like to thank Roger Goodell.
Oh.
And he said it twice. So it wasn't like some slip of the tongue. He went on to say Goodell again. Can you, like, how are you going to buy the Broncos and not know how to say the commission? And it's not like it's some kind of, like, super difficult to say, like, bunch of consonants and, you know, like, it's Goodell.
Just some good old boys.
Yeah, like what?
And he's not trolling him.
No, I mean, has this guy ever watched a football game, do you think, in his entire life?
Hey, if that didn't tell you about how these things are handled by I'll get my people on that. We'll put this deal together.
Yeah, like, if I'm a Broncos fan, and we have, like, a ton of them, apparently, in the building here, I'm a little bit worried. Right? If my owner can't figure out the commissioner's name, how interested is he in, like, you know, going over the salary cap, you know, or spending big on a free agent?
I've always NFL. I've loved players like Tim Brady, John Wyoming. Who could forget about him?
Yeah.
Ray Lewis.
And Peyton Manning. I mean, he's an all-time great for the Broncos.
John LeWay.
Yeah, yeah, John LeWay.
Oh, man.
I mean, this guy's really going to think that his quarterback is named Mr. Unlimited. Instead of Russell. It's like, oh, yeah, we got Mr. Unlimited back there. Like, he's some wrestler.
I hear he can cook. We have a chef at quarterback?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's, what are you doing, man?
That dude's got his people giving him all, feeding him all the information. But, yeah.
Speaking of all the information, we have a couple of good bits of news about former Tech baseball players.
Yeah, Josh Young last night. Of course, we talked about yesterday. He had gotten basically the end of his rehab assignment to rookie league baseball. He was recalled back to AAA, where he'd been on the 60-day DL. First game back, 1-for-3. Three-run jack in the seventh inning in a 3-2 ball game. Yeah. 1-for-3 with two walks. That's a Josh Young day, right? They're in Bricktown, place he's played before. And then Davis Martin got called up. I think AD, it was either his sixth or seventh time to get called up. But he's been that doubleheader guy, mm-hmm. you know, the extra roster spot. I think I counted seven recalls, most of them for a day. He'll get called up, start the game, go back down. Most of them, not all of them. But anyway, he went 5 2/3. Innings in Kansas City against Clint's Royals, allowed just the one run, got his second Major League Baseball win, and for his efforts, he was returned to Charlotte this morning.
He's played in 8 games this year, started 4. He's 2-3, if you care about, you know, pitching wins and losses. ERA of 4.25, a whip of 1.19, and he struck out 26.
That's all pretty respectable. Hopefully the progression for him involves, I'm sure he'll get a genuine crack at the rotation next year. I haven't studied the White Sox rotation enough to know if they got dudes rolling off or whatever. But
if you're a White Sox fan, you're encouraged by that.
Oh, sure.
Like, yeah. I want to see more of Mr. Davis Martin.
You bet, especially out of a sort of a sixth spot, you know, whatever, however you want to call that, spot rotation or whatever.
Rob Walton calls him Davis Martin.
Yeah, Davis Martin. They probably call him David Martin. I mean,
golly. can you imagine spending multiple $1 billion on something and not even knowing how to say the guy's name that you bought it from?
He probably kicks Josh Young around pretty bad, too. That's it. Probably the 4 millionth time Josh gets called Josh Jung. Yeah, that really is. It's not really tone deaf, but just a real, you know, just makes you wonder what goes on with that dude every day. That,
like, if you work at the Broncos organization and your name is not something just like Sam or David, you know, like, it's like the Key and Peele sketch, right?
Yeah.
This guy's going to walk around going, hey, Aaron, you know? Like, that's him.
Yeah.
That's, golly, dude. I'll play that clip in the break.
That's rough.
Gary says this in the chat line. We need to beat Patrick Mahomes. Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, like Nick Bonito went there. He's going to have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Bonito.
Yeah.
Patrick Surtin.
Yeah, there you go.
He's going to be at home like with cue cards, you know, with his wife. Like, all right, I got to learn all these player names.
It really does make
Max
you wonder
Borgie
how.
Max Borgie from Washington State's on their roster. Oh, and I feel bad for that kid.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
We'll talk about the coaching carousel a little bit later because, you know, last year was super duper active, Gus. And, you know, we have 30 new coaches in the FBS this season, including one here in Lubbock, obviously, in Joey McGuire. I'm curious, I'm going to give you a couple of coaches here.
Oh, man.
A couple of pairs, some pairs. And I want you to let us know who you think will be more successful in their first season at their new stop.
All right.
We'll go first to the Sunshine State, Florida, where you have Billy Napier taking over at Florida for Dan Mullen. Mullen fired for, among other things, not really being super invested in recruiting. Napier coming over from Louisiana Lafayette. And then you have at Miami, Mario Cristobal, who was very successful or relatively successful at Oregon, but he's a Miami guy. He's a South Florida guy through and through. He's taken over that Hurricanes program that had gotten a little bit stale.
I'm going to say Cristobal.
Cristobal?
Yeah.
I like that. Probably an easier schedule.
I was just about to say that. The schedule's probably a little easier, and you know, that dude, of course, you're asking me about a first-year question. That dude can recruit. They say he was tireless. I mean, the things that read about him as a recruiter, they talk about how good he is and how tireless he is. Like, his assistants are going, man, he's like, having him, having an assistant that's on a guy, you know, in their area, and then he gets on the phone and it's like, whoa, that's, you know, that's as opposed to other situations where it's like, hey, go get him, AD, really need those kids out of Dallas.
Florida has Utah in the opener, which, I mean, Utah is supposed to be pretty good this year, really good.
You talked about yesterday, they're favored.
Yeah.
Favored to win every game.
But beyond that, really, I mean, they play their normal SEC East schedule. So they do play Georgia. They play LSU out of the West. They play A&M out of the West. And, of course, they close with Florida State like they always do. But for the most part, it's a pretty manageable schedule there for Billy Napier.
As SEC schedules go, that's not too bad. And I think there's something to that. Sometimes those SEC East teams can get tucked away. Now, this is pre-Georgia being who they are now, but, you know, Missouri jumped into that league and won the SEC East a couple times, you know, and back at that point in time, you know, if Georgia was always sort of wishy-washy and Florida would be wishy-washy and Tennessee, a little wishy-washy, and, you know, there have been times in which all three of those three have been juggernauts, but there's also been times in which all three of them have just been so-so. And how Missouri danced into the SEC championship game twice and probably went, hey, look at
this
us.
This ain't so bad.
And then those other programs around them got right, and that story changed.
Yeah, Florida will not leave the state of Florida one time in the month of October. They have three straight home games, Eastern Washington, Missouri, LSU, and then they have their neutral site game with Georgia on the 29th in Jacksonville. Let's see. Up next, Brent Venables at Oklahoma or Lincoln Riley at USC. Vegas would say Lincoln Riley all the way. Right, they're one of the six or seven teams with the best odds to win the national championship. Caleb Williams is there, right? Jordan Addison is there from Pitt.
Again, that schedule's not just stacked. I probably would. I don't know, that's a good one, man. Because I'm not sure OU's schedule's stacked either. I mean, another team that is, you said yesterday, at this point in time, they're favored to win all of their games.
That's right.
The Sooners are. Wow. I don't know. I guess that'd be a fun bowl game to see. If they're both, whatever.
USC has really not much, dude. Like, they get Notre Dame at the end. Notre Dame also has a first-year coach. We might talk about that in a second. They open with Rice. They play Fresno State out of conference. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. There's really nothing here. They go at Utah October 15th, probably their toughest game of the entire season. But beyond that, man,
yeah, they got
it's a pancake festival.
They got a chance to be pretty explosive pretty quick. Like they could jump right in and be explosive. Now they haven't have time to really put that defense together, but they could be playing some shootouts. Man, there's some talent.
Oklahoma has Nebraska. That game will be in Lincoln on September 17th, but. I mean, they play Texas and Dallas like they always do. They get Oklahoma State at home. They get Baylor at home. Their toughest road game is probably, at least in conference play, probably West Virginia. Toughest road game. Maybe Iowa State, but probably West Virginia. They got TCU, Iowa State, West Virginia, and Tech on the road this year in conference play, which is not a murderer's row there of road games.
Yeah, it's probably have to say OU probably won more games. I mean, but yeah, a 10-2 and a 9-3, those two teams facing off in some bowl.
Do you think that's because of Venables taking over a better situation?
Yeah,
yeah. Right, the cupboard maybe not being as bare from what Lincoln Riley left.
Because I don't know, and they probably have some, you know, some transfer portal stuff that, but you know, nobody really jumps at the news outside of the real, real hardcore guys that are going to go, ooh, they just got a safety from Western Kentucky. Whoa, you know, but the ones that everybody jumped at are the quarterback transfer and the two high-end receivers, from Pittsburgh and from Pitt and where's the other? Didn't they have the other grad? I keep saying grad transfer.
Well, they picked up a couple of guys from Oklahoma.
Yeah, a receiver, and there's high-end receivers – from OU and Pitt, right?
Right, I think so. Yeah, Marvin Mins, I think.
Yep.
Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, Brian Kelly, LSU. Now, neither of these teams have just like cakewalk schedules, right? LSU and the SEC West, we know that's going to be tough no matter who they're playing in non-conference. They open up with Florida State, right, which is not some powerhouse, but still it's a challenge. And then Notre Dame at Ohio State to open up. Ooh. Very tough, although that might be neutral site. They play at North Carolina. Ooh. They host Clemson. They play at USC.
Wow, that's a tough one there.
Right? I mean, LSU goes, they get Alabama at home, right? They play at Florida. They play at A&M.
And there's some idea that LSU may be more talented than their record last year. You know, that they were pretty bad last year, but that was sort of, they may not have been, their talent, they may be the kind of team that could get coached up and be right back into some prominence pretty quickly. I'm not saying they're ready to jump in and go thump Bama, I don't know. But they were sort of chaos. They were chaos last year.
Yeah, I don't know that the Coach
O thing was a mess at the end.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But like Alabama, Auburn, A&M, maybe Ole Miss, right? Those teams have comparable talent to LSU, right? If not better in some cases. Like, I think A&M's talent is better. I think Alabama's talent certainly better. And then the way that Brian Kelly's recruiting right now at LSU is actually quite alarming if you're an LSU fan.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Like, most notable quotes from his kind of introductory press conference was, hey, the state of Louisiana recruits itself. All right, which, you know, it has seemed to be the case under Les Miles and Ed Orgeron and Nick
Orgeron,
Saban.
A Coach O recruited well.
Yeah. That has not been the case under Brian Kelly. In fact, they're getting their tails whipped in in-state recruiting, which is not something that LSU is used to.
And Saban's gotten good players to Bama from LSU.
Oh, yeah.
That's documented. The Heisman Trophy winning, wasn't that Devontae Smith was a Louisiana kid, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's kind of notable. And that was, yeah, and that was when LSU was doing a little bit better in recruiting. Yeah, that's really interesting. That could be a quick crash and burn. I'm not predicting that, but if it doesn't go well, it may not go well in a hurry. And, you know, it's really amazing that the SEC has produced two or three coaches now that have been really short tenure guys who have won a national championship. You know, like they rise up, beat Bama, and then they're a mess and gone in a year or two.
I mean, of the top five guys in Louisiana, right? Normally, LSU lives off of those players.
Sure.
Top five guys, they have one.
Ooh.
Arch Manning, Texas. Derek Williams, Texas. Eli Halstein, Alabama quarterback. And Tack Curtis, USC.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hello there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We will get to some of your comments in just a little bit, but right now we're going to find out what is good. All right, let's see. How much can you bench, Gus? A Maryland woman broke a Guinness World Record when she lifted a total of 1,620.4 pounds across the three major compound lifts. The squat, the bench, and the deadlift.
Kind of the classic power lift.
Yes. Tamara Walcott says she only started lifting weights 4 years ago.
Wow.
How about that? I don't... this story does not say what she... like what her totals were in each individual event. To find that out, but either way, yeah, how about that?
Yeah, she's probably built to be strong if she's truly only done it for 4 years.
Yeah,
she didn't walk in there as a skinny little thing. She was probably built to be strong, compact, however you want to say that, because you're talking about a pure weight total, not a ratio, strength
raw
to body weight, just raw number. Yeah. That's impressive.
Sounds like a truck tagline. Built to be tough.
Yeah, she squatted 600 pounds.
Built to be strong.
Let's see. Squatted 600 pounds and benched 380. And wow. Let's see. Deadlift was 639. Golly. That is, that's a lot. Some sad news to report. There was a truck accident, to be more accurate, in Kentucky.
This one is tragic.
Today, this morning around 8:50. Luckily, no one was hurt. Right? No injuries, no casualties. An 18-wheeler overturned while traveling on I-71, spilling its load all over the highway. The truck was full of Bud Light. And so just hundreds of cases of Bud Light just everywhere.
Oh, the humanity.
Yeah. I mean, just blue boxes everywhere.
It's hard to, like, pour one out in the memory of it.
I know. You just contributed to the problem.
So, yeah.
Sorry I wasn't there to help assist with the cleanup.
Then finally, you probably saw this last night. Pittsburgh Pirates infielder Rodolfo Castro.
Oh, I bet this is bad.
He's during a game they were playing the Diamondbacks, And he slid into third base.
Head first.
Fourth inning.
Head first.
Head first. Pirates were trailing 2-0 at the time. He was at first base. Batter, line drive single. Castro tries to push it and get to third. He made it. He was
all
safe.
Good. Yeah, yeah, all of that is good.
But as he slid into third base, head first, his cell phone fell out of his left pocket, like his iPhone. And I guess he didn't even notice. And it took the third baseman, or I guess the third base umpire, kind of pointing, hey, you dropped something, for him to notice.
Is that your pine tar? No, no, no.
Yeah.
It's your iPhone 74.
The umpire, if you watch that, was my favorite part because he's so awkward. He was like looking at it, looking down, realizes what it is, and just like gives him the nod, like, "Hey, buddy, like you dropped something."
Isn't that against the rules?
Oh, hey, it's well, think. I mean, and then we can take all the Astros jokes out of it, but one of the key components.
You don't have to.
Well, sure. Some of the key components leading into that, and then coming out of it, were no electronics in the. Because remember the iWatch.
Yeah,
the first Apple little Watch. Deal was the Apple Watch thing and all that. That, you know, that's, and this dude's probably going, hey, I forgot I was in there or whatever. But I bet you, because my first thought is, hey, he'll get some kangaroo court. And they're like, nah, I bet the Pirates go, hey, that's a, I don't know what they, you know, back in the old days, you get fined $50 for being late or whatever. I don't know if they still do that. The teams do it. But I bet MLB steps in and went, excuse me. You had electronics in the dugout. You could be getting texts from somebody going, eh, you know, whatever.
Right.
I mean, all the stuff we've talked about, and the dude may have just been like texting his girlfriend or whatever. Who knows? And forgot it was in his pocket. But he's, well, I bet you he gets a, I bet he is prominently fine.
Think about all the talk last year, unfounded, or maybe 2 years ago, unfounded, but all the talk about the buzzer, that Altuve was wearing a buzzer. Yeah. Well, you got a cell phone in your back pocket. You know, yes. Hey, text me 2 times if it's, you know, a slider or something. I mean, who knows?
Make sure you face the screen into your butt cheek, yeah, though, well, so it doesn't light up.
Yeah, like if you've got a cell phone in your back pocket, you're going to notice that.
Oh,
like,
my god!
You know, holy smokes. Come on now. We'd love to get your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Somebody asks this, Gus. Is Stephen Gingery in the minors, or is he done?
Yeah, Stephen had his second Tommy John, you know, don't let anyone tell you, hey, after you come back from Tommy John, you'll be better. Because Steven had 2 of them, and I think he may have pitched 1 inning of professional baseball, and he's out of baseball now. And I think he retired in February this year, right before camp.
Like,
I
just
can't. Yeah, and he was living in DFW. Of course, he was a California kid, but he was living in DFW. You know, healthy and done with the surgery stuff, but the, you know, the ability to throw a baseball like he used to is no longer there. But yeah, that's too bad. But Ging's a good dude.
Is he one of the bigger what ifs for Tech baseball in recent memory?
Oh yeah. When you and I played the what if game a month or so ago, that was surely one of the baseball ones we threw out there, because you think about that team in 2018. Mm-hmm. They went to Omaha. I can't remember that. I think that was the team that beat Florida in the first game and then lost to. But, you know, what if?
He just pitched 1 season. One game.
Yeah,
rather.
He came. He went out and threw the first game, and they had nursed him through fall ball and all that year. But that was the previous year he'd been really good here and then went to Team USA. And just, you know, apparently never felt right. But had Tommy John, was still a 4th-round draft pick, but rehabbed all the way through that. Pitched just an inning or two in the low minors, and then came off the mound like, hey, something's not right, and so they went in and redid the TJ, and by then he's, you know, but it absolutely is, because that's a College World Series team with a really good offense that was clicking right in there. Peak Josh Young, Cam Warren, really good. Grant Little had his big year that was his draft year. You know, that team was loaded up with the chance to be really good, and minus Ging, they still did all that. You throw Ging at the top of that rotation in there with Davis Martin, they've been in 2016 as freshmen, 2017, that could have, never know, but yeah, it's a big what if.
Home Finder says this in the chat line, as bad as Bud Light tastes, it deserves to be all over a highway.
Wow. I'll take that.
But there is some pretty,
I mean, you wouldn't take some free highway beer, even if it's Bud Light?
Oh, heck yeah.
You know? Like, if you gave me some free freeway, like Dr. Thunder, I would drink it, even though it's not my preferred, like, you know, soda brand.
Dr. K.
You know, absolutely. One? For sure. Maybe even a Fresca.
Yeah, citrus Fresca's not bad.
Oh, my God. This and the Yates Flooring Center Challenge. How do you play with your phone?
I know. Well,
you think he's like in there in the dugout playing Words with Friends or something? Like, what's...
Probably working on this Fruit Wordle. Ninja.
Hold on, I'm doing my Wordle, yes.
Yeah, Wordle. Yeah. I can do this between innings, right?
Dude, do you still have Flappy Bird downloaded on there? What are you doing?
Nice. I still play Rummy Cube, like, a couple times before bed.
I don't know what that is. I had heard of World of Warcraft. I've never heard of Rummy Cube.
Rummy Cube, it's like just one of those kind of rummy games. Like, you ever heard of Crazy Bee Rummy?
Tile-based numbers game.
Yeah. Oh,
all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It's an old person's game.
It's very fun though.
Yeah, I'm like a big fan. I was actually introduced to it by my wife and her family. It's a big game that they play.
Oh, nice. Is typically. It one that they can like you can do the like Words with Friends where you can play each other?
You can online, yeah. Nice. And I think it really frustrated my mother-in-law how good I was at it so quickly. I wear her out in that game.
You jumped right in and just dragged her a couple out, times. Yeah.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
I wouldn't mind a snow cone right now, actually. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30.
How tricked up are you going on that snow cone? You're just going like Little League concession stand snow cone, like red or purple, that kind of thing? Or are you like, you tricking?
So I'm ordering... typically, my go-to at the Bahama Bucks place is one of, like, the... It's more milkshake more than snow cone. It's like a strawberry something. It's
delightful.
Oh, it's great. And it's got, like, a million calories. And it's got whipped cream, you know, or Cool Whip or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, making a bunch of modifications. So it's not, like, a very complicated order. It's just not, like, a mainstream snow cone.
Right. It's got a name, and you just recite the name, and you're asking for it as photoed... as pictured in the on the menu or whatever, yeah.
You guys ever had a tiger's blood?
No,
there or
anywhere
else.
It's a pretty like standard flavor, but that's what I always get.
Okay,
it's kind of fruity.
I've been known to do the Sonic ocean water. Done those before. Let's talk about adult snow cones at now. 30 years ago, I don't know if they have this or not, but the spoon.
Strawberry Bliss.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Not the manliest name.
Yeah.
Right? But delicious. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. The Spoon, Texas Cafe, which was probably more of a college place back in my day than it is now, but it's still going strong, I think. They had Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, there you go.
And they had Cherry Bomb. And, it was basically like a frozen margarita texture, just but it was supposedly it was just red snow cone whatever with Everclear, and then great Everclear. That was a rumor. Probably my text in might tell us to clarify that, but it was a pretty simple recipe, and it was a popular order, and one of my strength and conditioning guys, fellow GAs, was kind of a weekend bartender there, and he hooked me up on that deal one night. I remember sitting there for about an hour, just kind of sitting there talking with him, working on this deal, and I'd, a third of a pitcher or whatever it was that he'd set out there, a couple glasses, however it was. And I remember getting a, hey, go to the restroom, like, you know, like, get off that bar still, kind of wobble around. Like, I remember at that exact moment walking over. I'll leave her name out of it to protect the innocent. Walked over there, handed her my keys. I'm gonna need some help getting home tonight. That was pre-Uber. pre-Uber back then, but that the snow cone, yeah, there's I got that. You know, that can be ballpark simple, or that can be Bahama Bucks elaborate, but all delicious.
You think that a lot of Steinbeck fans roll up and get the Grapes of Wrath?
Nah, I don't know if that would have been a very spoon-like thing. There's probably some English majors that had run through there, okay, at some point that thought, hey, that's pretty cool.
You know, Everclear is part of the Kansas State drink. I don't know if it's official, but
the state of Kansas or K-State University?
The state of Kansas.
Okay, all right.
Specifically in Southwest Kansas in Kiowa County, the Everclear and Gatorade. That was the nice. That was the go-to decision,
yeah,
there. That's
solid.
So somebody on Instagram the other day advocate for Jack and Orange.
Like Jack Daniels, mm-hmm, and Orange, like a
orange juice.
Like a concentrate or the actual?
Yeah, it's orange juice.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. We make Dana and I make a party punch deal, and it's got orange juice concentrate, maybe some lemonade concentrate, Southern Comfort.
Okay.
And it's big thing of Sprite or 7-Up. It's kind of summery, you know, just kind of a punch deal, but it's got a little kick and it tastes really good. It is the kind of thing that you go, hey, get you a glass of that. Like, hey, be careful of that stuff. Because it really, it really goes down easy, you know, and it tastes kind of orange juicy and Sprite-y, and then you're like, whoa.
This and the Yates Flooring Center Challenge, they had a lot of floor-finding drinks at the Spoon.
Yeah. That is very well said.
Someone else says, the Cherry Bomb was responsible for many blackout nights.
Well, the Cherry Bomb was the criminal deal that night, and so I go out in my brown 1979 El Camino, and this would probably be 1991, and I just park my, give my keys to her and say, hey, whenever you're ready, just get me home. And she goes, all right, I'm going to leave you out there. And I'm in the passenger seat. And after a while, the passenger seat starts spinning. I just hack it out the window. The next day, I could see the red all down the side of the old turd brown El Camino.
Oh, man.
It was solid. Yeah, that was one of my finer ones there. Yeah, but yeah, the floor finder, that's very well said.
My when I was sitting abroad in Spain, we lived in an apartment, me and three other tech students.
Oh, nice.
Males.
Yeah.
And with like a house mom, right? Mm-hmm. She was older, she was retired. This is kind of what she did. She got paid for it. And so this was one of our first weekends there, and went out and got toot a little bit.
You're in Europe.
Yeah.
You're in Italy.
Yeah. And
you could be an idiot.
So long story short, I ended up kind of, same situation, but I didn't have an El Camino. I just had a plastic bag because I didn't know where the bathroom was really yet. I was still kind of like fairly new to the, anyways, that was something. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The closest thing to a snow cone that I enjoy is a daiquiri.
Yeah. And frozen margarita is kind of that way, though. I mean, sure. It's that same kind of texture, sure.
This is the challenge from Washed Up Guy. I'm old by traditional thinking, and I absolutely love Rummy Cube. Well, Washed Up Guy, if you ever want to catch these hands on Rummy Cube, just let me know. Just let me know.
Catch these tiles.
Yeah, catch these tiles, exactly.
And if he's old enough to text that, he may be old enough to have enjoyed Grapes of Wrath at the Spoon.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody else says this in the chat line, blue margaritas at the Spoon.
There you go.
I'm definitely getting a snow cone today. There's
something like talk this happening.
Yeah.
Skipping dinner. Just go to
No, that is a dinner.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. The traditional dinner.
We'll have Rangers baseball for you tonight. That coverage starts at 6:30 here on Lubbock Sports Station Double T 97.3. Rangers are in Houston today. They'll take on the Astros, game two of a three-game series. Tomorrow, have an afternoon start, 1:00 first pitch. We'll have that for you here on Double T 97.3. And as always, well, the Astros version of the broadcasts on 100.7 The Score, they'll begin a little bit later for some reason, 6:40. And then first pitch, of course, the same on both networks, 7:10 p.m. Central Time.
Never be first to the party.
Do what?
Never be first to the party.
Is that why the Astros broadcast is always later?
The cool mantra. You know, oh, they're going to show up on time? Dorks.
See, I'd rather get there early, but, like, leave on time.
Yeah. You called it the Irish handshake.
Irish goodbye.
Irish goodbye. There you go. Yeah. This.
Although, I guess I can't really, you know, pump that up as much because when push came to shove, right, in a work setting, I wussed out and did not do the Irish goodbye. And I went and did the, you know, typical, like, make the round, shake the hands, pat on the back, I'll see you later, and then walk down.
Yeah, but if you had to do that once a month or every 6 months, you'd be doing that. This was the first time in 10 years you were also overdressed.
A little bit.
By your own reporting.
Yeah, a little bit.
That Aaron Dickens is a real go-getter.
Exactly. What a personal guy he is. Well, they only knew.
Yeah.
Maybe they're tuned in right now.
Probably.
Wait, did he say he hadn't worn something with a closed-toe shoe since he was out here in L.A.? Yeah, I believe that's what we heard.
Yeah, I mean, I probably will not wear closed-toe shoes until, like, 2023 now as a result.
that's quite a run.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.